Welcome to the Bigger Pockets Money Podcast, show number 252, Finance Friday edition, where we interview TJ and talk about setting up your business to scale in the future.
Yeah, I think that's the main reason I haven't hired anyone right now is that I don't want to hire someone and have them dependent on my income when I don't personally feel like it's stable, right? When it's just me, and I don't have any dependents that are looking to make use of my money, then it's not a big deal. If I lean on my emergency fund here and there, or I decide to take December off, those are all great. But when I'm looking to hire somebody else, they either have to not also be depending on the income themselves, or I need to have enough coming in the door steadily to be able to give them that assurance.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Mindy Jensen. And with me, as always, is my growth-minded business master co-host, Scott Trench.
I'm just thrilled to be your CE co-host, Mindy.
Oh my goodness, that was awful.
Oh, I thought it was great.
Oh. They're always awful. It was clever, though. Clever and awful can be at the same time. Scott and I are here to make financial independence less scary, less just for somebody else, to introduce you to Every Money Story, because we truly believe financial freedom is attainable for everyone, no matter when or where you're starting.
That's right. Whether you want to retire early and travel the world, go on to make big-time investments in assets like real estate, start your own business, or hire your first employee, we'll help you reach your financial goals and get money out of the way so you can launch yourself towards those dreams.
Scott, I'm excited to talk to TJ today. She has a very fun problem. She is in the I'm about to grow really big portion of her company, and she just needs, I think, a little bit of guidance for where she wants to go. And once she puts her feet running, I'm imagining like the roadrunner where his feet go like this, and then they finally hit the ground and they take off. Once her feet hit the ground, she's going to take off and fly.
Yeah. I mean, she's in this awesome position where her expenses are low. She's dual house hacker. She's got a business with all this kind of stuff. And now it's a matter of, you know, do we want to turbocharge and go forward? Or do we want to take a more methodical approach? She has all the options in the world because the status of her financial foundation is one of inevitably moving forward towards wealth and abundance over the next 5 to 10 years. So it's just fantastic to see. It's a higher income, but not a crazy high income with that. So kudos to her for building such a strong position.
Yeah. Before we bring in TJ, let's hear a note from today's show sponsor. Okay. Great big thanks to the sponsor of today's show. And my attorney now makes me say the contents of this podcast are informational in nature and are not legal or tax advice. And neither Scott nor I nor Bigger Pockets is engaged in the provision of legal, tax, or any other advice. You should seek your own advice from professional advisors, including lawyers and accountants, regarding the legal, tax, and financial implications of any financial decision you contemplate. Interest rates are sky high in 2023, and buying a rental property means you could get stuck with an 8, 9, or 10% mortgage rate. But what about a 2.99% rate with Rent to Retirement? Rent to Retirement has 2.99% seller financing available on turnkey properties. You heard that right. That's a seller-financed 2.99% interest rate with an average cash flow of over $900 per month. Plus, they've got options where you can put as little as 5% down with no PMI. As the nation's leading turnkey investment company, Rent to Retirement helps investors build headache-free, high cash flow rental portfolios. And since their properties are fully turnkey, newly built or renovated, leased and managed, anyone can invest, even those who aren't into landlording. So what are you waiting for? This 2.99% rate deal won't last long. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. Again, text REI to 33777. Real estate investing is great, but for some, the tenant phone calls and clogged toilets aren't all that attractive. So how do you invest in real estate without getting your hands dirty? Invest for truly passive income with Pine Financial Group. Pine's mortgage fund offers an 8% preferred return and an attractive profit split, with 70% of profits going to the investors. You'll earn passive income by participating in lending to house flippers. And it's secure because senior lien holders, that's you, get paid first. Their rigorous underwriting process and the backing of the physical asset provide additional security in case of borrower default. Plus, by investing with Pine Financial Group, you contribute to the revitalization of communities by redirecting your funds from Wall Street to Main Street, supporting local economies and generating profits simultaneously. This investment is reserved for accredited investors, but if you are not accredited, Pine Financial has options for you too. Take control of your investments and secure a stable 8% annual return today. Visit pinefinancialgroup.com/biggerpockets to learn more about the fund. That's pinefinancialgroup.com/biggerpockets.
This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that I turned one of my first homes into an Airbnb? It's true. And it even helped me get the extra income I needed to launch my real estate career. So if you want to try your hand at making even more income with your property, Airbnb is the place to be. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
TJ is 30 years old and targeting a work optional life within the next 10 years. She's recently purchased a new built home and has her expenses dialed in. She's looking to optimize her finances and is actively growing her business, consulting businesses on their business practices. I'm actively growing the use of the word business in the introductions here. TJ, welcome to the Bigger Pockets Money Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you today because I think you have an interesting set of circumstances, and I think you're not the only one in this set of circumstances. So let's jump in and see where your money's going. What are you bringing in and where are you sending it out?
Great. So yeah, coming in the door, I recently just transitioned from working full-time as a IT project manager to full-time as a consultant. So this year, my finances are a little wonky, but I'm looking at bringing in a little under $150,000 this year based off of the leads I have right now. And after taxes, that's about $9,000 a month.
Awesome. And is there any additional income?
Yes. So I have a couple and they're really just small, right? But I do have one PPM or syndication, and that's bringing in about $125 a month. And then I'm actually part of a research study that gives me like $25 a month.
Well, that's cool. Right. I like those research studies.
Yes.
When you're in college, you can generate a lot of income like that.
Well, let's get a picture of net worth. So what are your assets and liabilities and however you want to present those?
Sure. So from an asset perspective, I've got several retirement accounts and all sorts of fun things. On the traditional retirement side, that's about $95,000. On the Roth side, that adds up to about $55,000. And then I've got a 529 plan that just kind of sits there because I thought I would get my MBA at some point at about $16,000. And then after-tax investments is at $66,000. And then I do own, I just moved from a 2-bed, 2-bath condo into this new build home and I hung on to that one. So right now that is a rental property that is worth about $171,000. And I do have a HELOC out on that, which is about $62,000. So a little bit of debt there, but that's really just because I like to have the line of credit to have that flexibility. And then this property, I'm actually house hacking it. So I have a roommate.
Awesome. What's the mortgage? Do you have a mortgage in addition to that HELOC? And do you have a mortgage on your primary?
So the condo is paid off. I basically just got the HELOC and took the HELOC funds and paid off the mortgage. So it reduced my monthly expenses there. And then the mortgage on the single family home I'm in right now is at 235 with a 2.99% interest.
And what's the asset value of the house hack?
The house hack.
How much is it worth?
Oh, 171. That's what it was.
Sorry, you have a mortgage for 235. So the condo is worth 171 and you have a $62,000 HELOC. And then you have a mortgage of 235. And how much is the value of the property
worth?
The
single family is 350.
350. Okay.
Oh, nice.
And how much does this all boil up to for total net worth?
About $450,000.
Awesome. One more question before we get to where you want to get to. What brought you to this point? How long have you been thinking about, FI or personal finance or this kind of stuff? And can you give us a quick overview of your story in the past couple of years?
Yeah, I would say a lot of it comes from just having strong fundamentals. My parents are immigrants. They came to America to do their master's and then stayed. And they've always been super frugal. It's just kind of an immigrant mindset where you're trying to fast track your way to the American dream. And my mom's amazing at finances. So she taught me a lot of things. She actually day and swing trades stocks right now. And I look at her portfolio, I'm like, what? How? So I really picked up a lot of that and just like knowing it was possible and having a female role model show me that this is what how to do finances. And then I learned about FI in 2017. And I was already in a good position. I already owned my condo at the time, and I was not enjoying my job. So I went to my boyfriend at the time and went, I want to do this. Will you support me? And he gave me that mental space and emotional space to, or support rather, to really decide that this was something I wanted to do. And that's really just the jumping off point. Since then, I've soaked up a lot of information, purchased several classes on real estate investing, stock trading, all sorts of other things just to get myself to this point.
Awesome. And then did you ever have any debt, or were you able to just kind of pay off and build this position? You know, did you have a pretty good launch pad for that journey?
I had a good launch pad. I did recently tell a salesperson that my family doesn't take out financing for things. The only debt that we ever had in the house was the mortgage. So it actually like was not a part of like my world of possibilities that I could take out a loan for college. That just like wasn't a thing. So I got a scholarship that paid for most of it. My parents paid for the difference because they already had a 529 plan. So they wanted to use the money without the penalties. And then I did work internships and part-time jobs during college to pay for anything else I wanted.
Awesome. Okay. So what's the best way we can help you from this position?
So right now, my main focus and passion is in growing my business. So I'm doing how I described it is project and operations management and organizational change management consulting. So I help medium to large businesses optimize the way that their businesses run. And if they need a particular project to just hand off to somebody so that they don't have to worry about it, that's where I come in.
Okay, awesome. Do you have any representative types of projects you could share with us to give us a little bit more of a picture?
Yeah, so my background is in IT. So I don't currently work with an IT client right now, but a lot of spaces where you need any kind of software implementation, upgrades, things like that, that's where I have my bread and butter. So things like Salesforce, the most recent large one that I completed was in implementing their field service lightning module. It was basically when a store like the Container Store deploys a contractor to your house to do a job, then that's the technology they're using behind that. And actually right now I'm helping a marketing department optimize their operations. They don't have any internal project managers, so I'm helping them figure out how to leverage the tools they have at hand. Things like Microsoft Office 365, Teams, SharePoint, and really just get the most out of what they already have.
Okay, awesome. And how many hours a week is this taking you currently?
It really depends on the phase of the project. And also on the unfortunate part and the reason why going consulting was a big deal to me is that some of it depends on how available the client is. So if the client doesn't have any time to share with me what their current process is, then I actually have a decent amount of downtime. So that's where I come in as a fractional consultant to help them when they need the help and bill them hourly. And then I can juggle up to 3 clients at a time.
Okay. And what would 3 clients at a time lead to in terms of total income?
3 clients at a time. I actually haven't projected that. With just the 1 client right now is where the 9K a month is coming in right now. And that's at 40 hours a week.
Okay. But you think your maximum capacity would be 3 clients juggling at a time?
Yeah. Yes. Hypothetically, if I phase them correctly so that I'm not starting all 3 at the same time, then yes.
Okay. So if you were able to do 3 clients at a time, if you're able to juggle that and schedule that, then your theoretical income would go from 9,000 to 27,000 per month, which would be about a little over 300K a year. Is that kind of how you're thinking about the income potential for your business?
Yes, though I would end up hiring some support staff, right? I'd probably get a personal assistant and add a couple of expenses to really optimize that.
Yep. Well, so I is that kind of where you want to go? Is that what the best thing we could help you with is thinking through how to make that happen and build the business on that trajectory?
Yeah, I think the long term, like if I were thinking big about the business, and it won't necessarily get to this point, but dreaming big, what I'd love to do is have a staff of other consultants, not necessarily in my space, but my roommate is an industrial engineer. And I'm not as versed in organizational change management as I would like to be. So if I had a specialist in that space, I'd really love to have like a suite of offerings to my clients.
Love it. Okay, so to me, I actually think that the game is very, very simple in the immediate and short-term future, which is you just don't have enough revenue for your business to hire an employee with this. And to get to that level of revenue, you need to bring on two more clients. And that sounds like a brutal amount of work, but I think that is the price to pay to be able to get to a position where you can hire someone in this particular line of work. Or at least that's my immediate observation. That said, I don't know what I don't know, but I'm just going to float that out there and see how you react to that. Does that sound generally along the right trajectory?
Yeah, I think that's the main reason I haven't hired anyone right now is that I don't want to hire someone and have them dependent on my income when I don't personally feel like it's stable, right? When it's just me, I don't have any dependents that are looking to make use of my money, then it's not a big deal if I lean on my emergency fund here and there or I decide to take December off. Those are all great. But when I'm looking to hire somebody else, they either have to not also be depending on the income themselves, or I need to have enough coming in the door steadily to be able to give them that assurance.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. And I think that that's, again, I don't like, that's where I'm kind of like, okay, it's almost like remarkably simple. It's not easy, but it's simple in the sense that like, okay, you got to complete this job in 35 or 40 hours and crush it. And then moonlight to get the second job and get that going. And that's 18,000 per month. That's good. That's a good individual income. That's a higher end individual income, but it's still not like the ability to comfortably hire somebody at that point, I think, unless you have a backlog of business with it. So it's kind of like getting that second one and then having the third one in the books. And that's when the hire comes in place. At least that's one way to think about it. But Mindy, I see you making some faces. Do you agree or disagree?
I want to throw out a different option, but first I want to make fun of you because you said, oh, $18,000, that's a good income. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, it's very good income.
That's a good, you know, that's okay. That's not bad. So I'm just teasing you about that. But no, you keep using the word hire, Scott. She's a consultant. I would encourage her right now in her downtime, and I'm making air quotes, in her downtime, start reaching out to other people. You said something about organizational change management or something that isn't a strength that you have. Start looking for somebody who has that strength, who can supplement your business when you need them, but you're not hiring them as an employee, because it doesn't sound like you putting in a lot of time to learn that is worth your while. It sounds like that's the kind of thing you can, you know, bring somebody in on. Is that the sort of thing that your company needs to have somebody on staff, or can it be a hire out when you need to? I mean, if you could find a rock star organizational change management person to come in and consult with you for, you know, the beginning of this project. Or, I mean, clearly, I don't know what that is. I don't know if I've done a good job of hiding fact.
It's good. Typically, best practice would be to keep them on for the duration of the project. But that is definitely something that that is a possibility to not have to hire them as part of my org. I think it's more part of the vision that I would love to at some point. But certainly as a middle ground, getting somebody to come in as like a subcontractor is definitely an option. I think my main challenge is less so in the change management space, but more in project management, which is where my bread and butter is that convincing a project manager to jump away from a W-2 job is actually really difficult.
So it sounds like the personal assistant or the project manager would be the first hire that you do.
Yes.
Okay. And you said that you have several leads on jobs, but you've got one client right now. When is the next job supposed to start?
I actually have a short engagement, about 2 weeks worth of work, starting next week when that client comes back from vacation. So I'll be working two jobs in November, in addition to all the other fun things I get to do in November. So it's not actually a lack of demand. Some of it's just timing or having some foresight into what my workload is going to be. Like things like, hey, do I want to just take December off? Or does it make sense for budgets for people to wait until 2022? So not really too much of a challenge in getting somebody in my sales pipeline, but it is more about nailing down the actual timing.
Yeah. You know, when we had Joel Esparza on a few weeks ago, and Joel is building a video editing business, right? And that with that case, the use of a contractor or a set of subcontractors makes a lot of sense, because you can boil down each unit of work product into something very tangible, complete it, you know, decide if it's satisfactory, and then begin scaling up to a large degree, right? It's not always that easy, but it's going to tend more towards that type of work product. What I'm reading into in your business is you need somebody for months on end, maybe on the short side, 2 weeks, to complete a contract to the satisfaction of the client with that. And that seems like it's just going to be a lot more expensive or harder to subcontract out. Doesn't mean you can't do it. I think Mindy's point is great. You may be able, it may be a lower risk option in the next year or two to think about that, but you're going to probably spend much more. It may be the same percentage difference as if Joel was hiring out each video individually, but it's going to be the dollar amount's going to be way bigger. If the contract is 40 grand, you're probably going to have to pay somebody 30 of it or something, something substantial in order to be able to then subcontract it. It's still good. You're arbitraging. I'm making that up 10 grand in that fictional example. But I think, yeah, your business doesn't scale. It scales much better with somebody being paid hourly and you arbitraging, you know, a $40,000 contract for $20,000 in an employee expense. So that's interesting. And I think that's the challenge. And again, that's where I come back to, like, that there needs to be a huge gap between that income and expense, and probably for some period of time in order to pull that off, unless you're willing to give up much more of the contract, which could be an economy of scale. If you can get 10, 20 contracts, that could be a really good, you know,
Yeah, and I want to be careful there, because there's definitely a space in the industry where it's really just being a staffing agency looking for project managers and pairing them up with a client. And that's not the space I want to go to, because first of all, it's oversaturated. It's ridiculous. The number of LinkedIn messages I get looking for a project manager, it's not something that I want to join the party for. So it's really a certain amount of the challenge is expanding my network and finding people who are in a position in their career where they may not feel like they have enough experience to be fully independent, where I can fill in some with my experience and things like that. And right now, a lot of my network is either people who are about at my level of experience or higher. So some of that is I just need to put some more legwork into finding younger professionals.
Well, where would you find a younger professional? I mean, when we're talking about real estate, because of the bigger pockets aspect of this, we suggest going to local meetups. Are there local business meetups?
There are actually, so project managers have an organization where that certifies them, the Project Management Institute. So we do have a chapter in my area that I could start attending. I hadn't attended since I was a student, because it's really just a bunch of people looking for jobs.
Is it really just a bunch of people looking for jobs who may not have a ton of experience?
Sure. Last time I checked, yes. So I guess I need to go back to doing that. It does come at an expense. Every single event costs money. So it's something where I have to find out which ones are really going to be worth my time and money to be doing that. So that is one avenue. And then I'm still in the town where I went to college, and I do have professors that I'm keeping in touch with. So if they have somebody who would be willing to take on, and at this point, I only need like 5 hours a week for a personal assistant. So if they have the ability to get to my place and they want to learn from a project manager, that's what I'm looking to do. So I'm expanding my network in that space as well. What I don't want to do is convince somebody to do that when I either don't have the income to pay them, or that I don't have a lot of work to give them either. So it's a little bit of a balancing act.
When you're in this space, it sounds like you've got some downtime coming up in the form of taking off all of December. When you're in a space that has a bit of a lower demand on your time, start looking for things that you can put off on somebody else's plate. Mm-hmm. How much time are you spending on the menial tasks? And I don't mean this to be, that sounds snotty, but the menial tasks like email and calendaring and, you know, all these things that don't need TJ to do, as opposed to the business processes that does need TJ to do. What can you take off your plate? What can you put on somebody else's plate? And do you have a system in order to pass that off easily? but it takes time to set up those systems.
Yeah, definitely. And this is actually something I do a lot for my clients as well. So it's kind of a funny space where I'm like, I do this for my clients, but now I'm going to offload some of the stuff for my business to somebody else. So it's a little bit of the like letting go of control, learning to delegate thing as well. But I do think one of them
is easy.
One of the main things I do want to do, because right now I'm operating in like three different calendar softwares, is to have somebody just sit there and sync them all up. Because that's just the way the invites come in. And there is a purpose to having them separated. But in order for me to know where I need to be next, I do need them to sync up a little bit more.
Well, that sounds like more than 5 hours worth of work to do.
What's like a 3-year target for the business? Like what you'd be like, I'm super happy with my business in 3 years.
So 3-year target is definitely to have that personal assistant and then maybe one other consultant at that point. And I'm not picky about like in which space their specialty is in, but that would be the ideal space in 3 years.
Okay. So, your business currently generates, it looks like $110,000 to $120,000 a year in revenue. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I just want to kind of point out, like, if you're hiring what would be the salary range of someone that you'd be wanting to hire?
So for a personal assistant, I'd probably do $20 to $30 an hour, just because the demand for talent, especially the type of talent that I want to mentor, is going to be at that price range. For a project manager, that's where it gets expensive. My starting salary coming straight out of college was somewhere around $60,000. So we're starting to really eat into the expense or into the revenue there, unless that person can independently handle a client all by themselves.
Great. So let's say it's $75,000, for the person's 1 year, 1 or 2 years out of college. Yep. With that, right? When I think about employee expense, I fully burden it. I say, okay, the bonus, the benefits, all that kind of stuff. That's going to be an incremental 50% on top of the base salary, right? So that's, yep, that would give you $37,500. On that. So that's $112,500 that you're going to be paying this person. I think I did that right. In all in compensation. That's how much cash comp or how much cash is going to leave your business on an annual basis to pay that person's salary, right? So let's yep, take the personal assistant, say it's $50,000. So same deal, $75,000, maybe $80,000 in that case, because you still have to pay the health insurance and all that kind of stuff. Is going to come out on that particular one. So that's $80,000. So that's $200,000 in cash comp in cash costs that are leaving your business in order to pay for just those two employees, right? Not to mention your software and all the other stuff. Yep. How much do you want to make?
That's a good question. So at the bottom of it, right? Like what I need to live off of is about $55,000 a year. What I'd like to make is at least $150,000 to make all of the rest of this worth it.
Okay. So you need $150,000 in base plus bonus or plus some wiggle room, or is that like kind of just at the profit the business needs to be at the end of the year?
Let's say plus a little wiggle room, because I'll probably do an S corp election and do a owner's draw.
Okay, great. And then you're going to have benefits and all that kind of stuff that you're going to want from the business, like health insurance and all that kind of stuff. So you say 150, let's add on 25 to 50 to be conservative. Let's add another 37.5 to be consistent with your top employee there. So that's going to put you at 200. So now we're fully loaded at $400,000 to $450,000 in cost to get to your future target state. So you need to be able to generate business that does, I guess we can pull 150 out of that target. That generates about $450,000 to $500,000 mm-hmm. annually in revenue in order to get to complete that picture. And the point I'm trying to make here is that I like the systems and all that kind of stuff, but this is a revenue game right now. You need to bring in more business and build that book of business. And at first, I don't know how much that scales. I think Mindy's absolutely correct that you should write out all those tasks, the calendar syncing. That's perfect. You're certainly in a position to outsource some of that work that's lower that's lower skill that anyone else can do that doesn't need to do that, the project management that is your professional thing. But I think like, okay, you're saying three contracts, I can juggle three at once. You need to do six at once in order to justify this, or one, or fewer that are bigger or more that are smaller. I mean, with that, but that's the name of the game that I see. And so I think that, do you think I'm framing the challenge appropriately with that? And is that sparking any ideas or thoughts on this vision?
I like the way you laid it out. It definitely helps me quantify what the goal is. At this point, I'd say towards the end of the 3 years, that might be a bit of a stretch to really get to that point. And I only say that because the whole, like, just trying to hire just a part-time person right now is a little bit slow going, more because of the networking aspect that goes into it. So some of it is like, I know what I need to do, but either I don't have the network to do it yet, I don't have everything set up, or I'm just waiting until the appropriate time to make those overtures.
So what I'm hearing you say is, or what I am getting from this conversation is, you need to hire a personal assistant. The ideal personal assistant is coming from a professor that you've been in touch with, mm-hmm. is a junior or senior in college, is hungry and would work for $20 or $30 an hour, part-time, your 5 hours, but they're studying to be a project manager, or they have aspirations to be a project manager. So as they're learning with you, learning your company on a part-time while I'm in school basis, they graduate and now you've got a project manager who's already familiar with all the aspects of your company and can hit the ground running. And then you have to go and find another good personal assistant, but you can find a good personal assistant. It sounds like project management is more of a difficult task. So that's the first thing that I would do, is really focus on reaching out to all of your professors and saying, hey, I'm at a position where I need somebody 5 hours a week, but I'm thinking it'll grow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having a conversation with them, oh, midterms are coming up. Great. You can, you know, take time off this week, and finals are coming up. Great. I want you to focus on that too. But, you know, having this back and forth with your employee can be really, really beneficial to your business. Another thing I want you to do is get a new client. It's called TJ's Business, and look at TJ's Business from 50 miles up and say, if TJ's Business was my client, what would I tell them to do? And it's very much a cobbler's children have no shoes kind of thing, where you know what you have to do, but it's so easy to not do it. Let me tell you all the things that I know I have to do, and I just keep finding reasons not to. But okay, so it's not TJ's Business, it's Mindy's Business. Mindy's Business just happens to run exactly the way TJ's does. What would you tell Mindy to do in your exact position and start implementing that? But I really think the assistant who can, like, your calendar, that's really important. If you miss a meeting, that's going to be horrible. I don't want to do all that moving calendar thing either. So I would love to have an assistant who could do all that. But that's a great task that you can easily check on. Oh, they messed this up. Forget it. I don't want to hire this person. Mm-hmm. But, you know, starting off on a project basis and then asking them, do you want to come on as a part-time and then as a full-time? And then, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think in answer to your, like, what would I tell you if I was looking at my business as the consultant, it really is just to get, like, a job description out there and just throw it out there and see what comes back. And I'm totally, like, definitely the introvert that doesn't want to talk to anybody, so it doesn't happen. Like, I even drafted it and everything. I just need to, and actually, I didn't think about just sending it to my professors, right? Like, I was thinking I'd have to put it on, like, some kind of job board and things like that. But I think the professor route probably is the better way to go.
I would start with the professors and then start with, are there any, the Project Management Institute, do they have any, like, Facebook groups or LinkedIn? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's a lot of technology at our fingertips. Are there any college groups and clubs that talk about project management? I mean, I'm just throwing stuff out here, but, you know, maybe something like that spark what actually exists.
It's a little tough coming out of the pandemic that people basically shuttered all their events and stuff. So they are coming back. And I did just talk to a student on Friday. Where I do want to be careful, though, is that if they have particular career aspirations that don't line up or just isn't a good first step for them, I don't want to convince them that it's better to work for me than whatever else.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right. Get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
You're trying to close on your next rental, so why is your insurance company dragging its feet? With long lead times and never-ending paper forms, it's no wonder it takes forever to finally get a policy. Modern investors deserve better. They deserve Steadily.com. At Steadily.com, you'll get fast, affordable landlord insurance available online 24/7 in just a few clicks. You can even get next-day coverage, which takes just minutes, by the way, to obtain. And you can do it all from your phone. Steadily was founded by landlords who created insurance products tailored to the unique needs of this industry. It's their sole focus, and that's why landlords nationwide consistently rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars. So whether you've got a single family, short-term, or multifamily portfolio, Steadily.com can secure the best coverage at the best price to protect your properties. Discover how Steadily can save you both time and money on your rental property insurance. Visit Steadily.com for a commitment-free quote tailored to your needs today. This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. The dream of owning a vacation home can be daunting. From finding the best guests, to the maintenance, to organizing the cleaners after every guest day. With Vacasa, they make that dream into a reality. As a full-service vacation home management company with vacation homes in key destinations across the U.S., they know a thing about how to make owning a vacation home easy and profitable. On top of proactive property maintenance visits by professional local teams, a hospitality-driven booking platform, and around-the-clock support, Vacasa earns homeowners an average of 20% more revenue from their vacation homes. Vacasa is always thinking of ways to simplify the vacation home owning experience by putting your home to work for you. If you're looking to make more from your vacation home, work with the reliable property manager, and finally have peace of mind, partner with Vacasa at vacasa.com/biggerpockets. That's vacasa.com/biggerpockets.
They have going for them.
I think that's fair.
What would be a good outcome in the next year for you?
In the next year would probably be to feel stable in my business operations. Right now, I'm kind of enjoying the whole like eat what you kill thing, where you like get to do the sales thing and all of that and having those conversations. But especially if I'm thinking about bringing on people that will depend on income for me, I do want to be stable enough where I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to have a tough conversation with them 6 months down the line.
What does stable mean?
Stable would be probably signing a client before I'm done with the current client that's bringing in like whatever the problem, because in the next year, I don't think I'll be juggling 3 at a time, maybe 2 at a time. So basically knowing when my next engagement is going to start, when I already know that the current one is going to end, so, and having that like visibility into the future of what's going to happen so that I can plan for it. And I'm clearly, as a project manager, I'm a big planner. So that's what that means to me, really, because there's like I'm very flexible in a lot of other spaces, but I don't want this business endeavor to be something that just falls apart because I stop paying attention to it.
Okay. So that goal, You know, I love the focus on the personal assistant because there's clearly opportunity to go there. But I think we're missing a huge piece of like what being in a future state that actually checks all these boxes means. And the personal assistant is one component of that overall approach with that, right? So what I'm hearing is you want to sign a client prior to the engagement ending. That means you need a sales and lead management pipeline, right? So mm-hmm. there needs to be, you have lead, you know, this is a traditional sales funnel. Here's the amount of leads. Here's the amount. Here's where they are in the sales cycle. Here's where they're falling. I have my pricing figured out and I have, all of that kind of stuff, right? So that's an easy to check the box component of the business plan that only you can achieve, right? Only you can construct for at least for mm-hmm. now with that. I mean, you can hire a consultant or something with that, but that would be really high value work, right? Then, creating some sort of forecast with that or some sort of schedule that compiles those and has those end dates figured out with that kind of stuff, and that making it into your calendar where you're like, okay, my engagement's about to end and I've worked 40 hours. Too bad. I got to do another 5 hours this week because I need to manage that pipeline and get that next lead into the business with it. Otherwise, I'm going to be anxious, increasingly anxious over the next month while this engagement is ending with that kind of stuff. And that I think the tool for that would be helpful is the business plan. So it's kind of a bit back to basics, kind of college, dig up one of those things. But putting together a very simple 2-page, 3-page business plan may be very powerful for you. Because again, I don't think the personal assistant is going to solve as many problems as you think. I think it will solve some of them. But this is you're attempting to build a business with an employee with all this. You need to have those traditional sales and marketing, operations, finance and forecasting roles defined and filled. Doesn't mean you have to hire people to do all of them. They just need to get done, probably by you in the short term with this.
That's the fun thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, actually, because my major was from the business school, it actually isn't too much of a stretch to ask the personal assistant if they were to come from my major or an adjacent major to do a practice run of it. There are definitely parts of marketing that I don't want to do, things like social media and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm sure I could figure it out. It's not like so much of a stretch, but it's not where I want to spend my time. So there is definitely opportunity if I could find a student that was interested in those spaces. To have them stretch into those spaces as well.
Absolutely. But I think if you start with what needs to get done in order to move the business forward and then fall back and then outline that, like, okay, somebody needs to post to my Instagram with this type of content with it, or somebody needs to run a Facebook ad campaign with this kind of stuff. Here's how much I'm willing to spend. If you start by mapping out what needs to get done and then putting in place the pieces that move that get that forward. I think you're going to find that more powerful than just saying, okay, well, all of this is a catch-all and the personal assistant will take care of all of it. It mm-hmm. is possible to hire that incredible personal assistant who can just kind of take on all of these things and do them all well. But you may find on the marketing function, I'm making this up, I don't know. You may find on the marketing function that outsourcing to a social media firm for $100 a month is going to be much more powerful because they're going to know what they're doing than giving that as an additional task to the personal assistant with that. You may find that an outsourced bookkeeping firm can keep the books much better than the personal assistant can. That may also, the inverse of that may be true. I don't know. But I think that, I just think that there's like, it sounds like what I'm hearing is the next step is this personal assistant. That's surely the case for some of the work with that, not doubting that. I just don't think it's the only tool in your toolkit to help you kind of get to that stable position in a year from now. And it's going to create a lot of dependency on this particular individual as well, if we go down that route. And that's why I'm just encouraging you to think about it from a business planning perspective and say, what actually needs to get done? Who is the optimal person to do that? What's a good short-term solution? What's a good long-term solution with that? And mapping it out like that. That's just, I think, a more powerful approach.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense that like I do need to just write out the like individual tasks that are easy to say, yes, this is done, or this we can move the owner around as necessary. Because it might be the personal assistant, it might have to go somewhere else, it might have to be me, but it there's no way to determine that until I have a list and we stare at it and go, what are you willing to do or what do you feel strong in doing? And then delegate those out appropriately.
Mm-hmm. And just so you're aware, like at BiggerPockets, we do this kind of stuff all the time, right? And we say, like, let's talk about this podcast, right? Mindy and I both work at BiggerPockets. The podcast is produced by an employee, but it's edited by a contract firm in the Philippines. Then the video is edited by a firm in Spain, right? Then we have a contractor who listens to the show and comes up with titles and that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, there's certainly, you know, somebody who's managing that flow, but there's also bits of work product that are best done by certain individuals out there. And it's much cheaper, more cost effective, or better outcome to structure it, we think, that way than to, you know, do all of that in-house with one all-rounder, but, you know, on that front. So, and that's our business. It's completely different, but just a framework to help think through.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I think what I'm learning through this conversation is that because of where I come from as a project manager, what actually happens when you said, hey, there's somebody managing the flow, that's what I do. And then typically at large enterprises, what they also don't do is hire the correct people to do all those, like, this is the best person to do X, Y, Z. So since enterprises don't hire those people, it actually falls to the project manager to fill in those gaps. And that's been a big part of why I've been successful in project management, is because I will jump in when we don't have a body to do a particular piece of work. And that's something I have to unlearn in order to run my business.
Yeah, I maybe that's more eloquently phrasing what I've been trying to communicate with this is, like, I love it. Your biggest problem is you need to drive revenue growth. You have a large body of work that needs to get done to drive the revenue growth, inclusive of operations, which is taking over most of this. And I think that the another replicating yourself is great, but continues to avoid the scalability, long-term scalability problem of mapping out each business process with it. I think you should definitely hire the personal assistant with all this. Not you know, at least on a part-time basis with all that. I just, again, encourage you to use that tool because I think that it will, of the business plan, or like, don't write a 20-page business plan. It's a waste of time. But if you just jot your stuff down on a few pages, that may be very powerful for you to refer back to. And there's a lot of templates out there. If you're looking for the easiest or simplest one, Traction has a really good one. It's a book. It's meant for businesses that are larger than yours with that, but they have a 2-page business plan called the Vision Traction Organizer, which will force you to collect all of those thoughts on 2 pages. It'll take you, it can take you anywhere from an hour to a day to fill that in, or months, depending on like how long you want to spend on core values and that kind of stuff. But that may be an easy one for you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely look into that.
Okay. Do we have anything else we want to talk about on this particular subject, or do you have any other questions about your financial position that would be helpful for us to discuss?
A couple others, maybe. So the one that pops out at me if I'm looking at my notes is really in the healthcare space, because I've jumped off of working W-2, and right now I'm on COBRA, but we're also approaching open enrollment. So that's top of mind for me right now, is figuring out healthcare as an independent consultant.
Okay. We have in the past suggested, if you are relatively healthy, you don't have any chronic conditions, the high deductible plan is the best option for you. But if you have chronic conditions, it may not be. And I was listening, I said this out loud on a show, and somebody reached out to me and said, I have run the numbers. This is like my thing. I ran all the numbers, and there is this very teeny tiny space where the, even with a chronic condition, even with, you know, great health, poor health, there's a very tiny space where the HSA isn't the best plan. The high deductible option isn't the best plan. So I would say if you are going out on the exchange trying to find this for yourself, the options aren't great. They seem like high deductible plans. I would set up an HSA to make sure that you are able to invest the funds that you're, if you're going with the high deductible route. But honestly, I think the exchange is going to be your best option, which isn't a great option. It's more of a catastrophic plan. You know, if you have your appendix out, that's going to be, I had my appendix out in 96 and it was $27,000 back then. So it's going to be more now because everything goes
actually
up.
I've had my gallbladder removed. So that was, you know, that was a tax year that I took advantage of a lot of things. So yeah, I definitely am a big fan of the HSA. And it's great to know that somebody's run the numbers and figured out that it's actually long-term more effective to stay in the HSA, even if you have health concerns. So that's definitely something I'm looking at, I think, something that will mitigate the whole health concern thing, considering that I've already had like major operations, is probably just picking one that has a lower out-of-pocket max or a lower deductible. That, and I actually looked at the exchange. There's one that was like $1,400 was the deductible. And I was like, what? How does this exist? But I also don't recognize the network it's in. So that's some of my concern, is more of like, how good is this network?
And that's another thing to consider. I knew somebody who did not like a specific provider network because she didn't like what that when she went in, she didn't see the same doctor all the time. Mm. My kids don't know their doctor because they go in once a year, and then it's a whole another year before they go in again. So we don't have a relationship with our doctor. When we ended up with that insurance, it didn't bother us because we didn't have a relationship with our doctor anyway. So that, you know, it's there's what it all boils down to is there's no easy or cheap all-encompassing answer for healthcare in America. It is expensive. It is going to be expensive, and it can be a business expense, right, Scott? She could just, her company, TJ's Business Consulting, can provide health insurance to you 100% paid, right?
I think that may be the case, but I want to caveat that where that is definitely going to be the case once you have employees. Mm-hmm. It may not be if you're acting as an independent contractor, for example, then you may not. I don't know the structure of your business and how you.
I've looked into it. Right now, I'll probably stay sole proprietor, and just because of what a reasonable compensation is for a project manager is on the higher end, I'll be able to deduct off of my personal taxes the premiums, but I won't be able to have the business pay for all. I can't do like a health reimbursement plan or anything like that yet. So until I've got other employees and I'm running as an S corp, that's not an option.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I did not know that. So thank you for educating us on that particular one. But yeah, that makes sense. And that's it's six of one, half a dozen the other. If it's tax deductible versus a pass through to your business. So for now, that doesn't seem like a high stakes problem for you.
Yeah. So but I mean I get this question a lot. How am I going to pay for health insurance after financial independence? How am I going to pay for health insurance as a small business? And I wish there was a great answer like, oh, go to abc.com and they're totally going to take care of you. Insurance is a dollar. But there's not. Insurance in America is expensive. So if that is something that you are going to be responsible for, it just needs to be a line item in your budget. And when...
I want to put out a little dangerous shout out here for this. But like I've considered in the past maybe creating a benefit for Bigger Pockets Pro members of a healthcare plan or access to a healthcare plan that is reasonably competitive. So if anyone listening knows how to potentially help with that, that's an exploration phase, probably not something coming in the next year, not in 2022. But would be something that I would love to provide downstream, because a lot of full-time real estate investors or flippers or, you know, et cetera, have this type of problem in the early stages of building a business. And I would love to be able to offer a reasonable solution to that. So if anyone has ideas, please send it my way, scott@biggerpockets.com. I'd love to explore that, probably something for the 2023 or 2024 Bigger Pockets roadmap for that.
Yeah, that's exciting. Scott@biggerpockets.com. Email him.
Nobody else.
Scott's no longer at inbox zero.
No, that's a tough one. I think the answer is there's no good answer right now. So there's only least bad options, and you're probably as informed as we are on those least bad options for you through the research that you've already indicated on the portal there. At healthcare.gov, I imagine.
Is that right? Warren Buffett connect with Jamie Dimon and who's the Amazon? Jeff Bezos, and try to like disrupt the system, and then decide they couldn't.
I think they went into pharmaceutical. That's where I understand Amazon tried, and I don't know if they're still working on it or not.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if they're still working on it. I wish they would. I wish that somebody would figure this out. Warren's really smart. Come on, Warren, step it up.
Well, I'm sorry we don't have a wonderful, helpful answer for that one on yet, but if anyone does, we'd love to collect notes. And maybe we can post about this as well in the Bigger Pockets Money Facebook group and just kind of rehash if there's any new or exciting news in that front about what are some good healthcare options for somebody who is self-employed or a sole proprietor or has a small business that is not eligible for employer plans.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of figured.
Yeah, then we'll send you a link to that.
94.
Yeah, show 94. She had a list of like 25 options or something like that that were applicable. There's a couple of edge cases that you could qualify for. So it's probably worth a listen because there might be some gold in there. But I would say the odds are that it's probably going to be something along the lines of what you've already researched.
Yep. I'll take a look and see.
Okay, awesome. TJ, is there anything else that we can talk to you about today?
I think that's about it.
Well, I just want to compliment you on the fact that like you're doing really well with your financial position with all this. You're spending very little, you're house hacking, you're building a business, all this kind of stuff. You're thinking about scale. I love it. You've got the two properties now with it. I mean, it just seems like you're off to on a current incredible trajectory with building wealth with all this kind of stuff. And I'm excited to see how things go with your business.
Thanks, Scott. It's great talking to you guys.
Thank you, TJ. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, Scott, that was TJ. What did you think of her story?
Yeah, I thought there were some interesting financial decisions to contemplate. What'd you think, Mindy?
I really liked where she's at. And I think she's in that almost to the point where she's in that position of business growth where she could probably hire somebody on a very part-time basis, but I think very soon is going to be a little bit farther than when she should have hired. You know what I mean? Like you always wait a little bit too long to hire your first employee. I think she's thinking about it. And I think you in particular gave her some really great things to contemplate. And I'm super excited for her business growth in the next couple of years.
Yeah. I feel like when a business line or area has that level of revenue, you know, one $60,000 employee on $110,000 in revenue is going to eat up 90 grand out of 110 in profits. That, you know, if you pay anything else, rent or whatever, you're at break even with that. So the plan has to involve aggressive growth projections, not just to protect your own business interests, but also the interests of continued employment for that employee with that. And so that's where I think my challenge, you know, to her come from, where if you want to hire and get people in full time, that's great, but you need to have the revenue to back it up, or you need to have an aggressive path to getting to that revenue that your future employees can reasonably believe. And so I think that'll be your challenge. There's a lot of ways. There's a lot of betweens here and there, you know, part-time assistant, hourly contract, all that kind of stuff that can de-risk that. But that's I think, you know, the big challenge there where, you know, last thing you want to do is have to eliminate the position because the revenue projections didn't pan out.
You know, Scott, I think that you gave her some really great things to think about and consider that maybe she hadn't quite gotten to yet herself. So I think this conversation is really helpful for TJ to start thinking about growth patterns. And, you know, when you get really busy, it's really easy to say, oh, I want to hire somebody. But hiring them in an intelligent manner is the best way to go. And of course, you have to have the revenue to back it up. That's always the top. Okay, Scott, should we get out of here?
Let's do it.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Before we do, I want to make a plea to our listeners. If you would like your finances reviewed, Scott and I would love to look over your financial situation. Please apply at biggerpockets.com/finance review. We don't need to use your name, your video. We're not here to out you. We're not here to catch you in lies. We're just here to review your finances and see what we would do if we were in your same situation. So if you would like us to talk, let's talk. Biggerpockets.com/finance review. Okay, Scott, now should we get out of here? And you say, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it now.
From episode 252 of the Bigger Pockets Money Podcast, he is Scott Trench, and I am Mindy Jensen, saying, don't be a punk, skunk.
The market is changing. Finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market. It's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals. Enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and boom, instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all host and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
BiggerPockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.